credits.
All right. As Darrell said, I already gave this message pretty much to the St. Helens Youth Rally, and when I approached just a couple days ago, filling in for Rory tonight because I figured I already had this one ready, and most of you guys haven't heard of it. So I thought I'd just go ahead and go with this one again. Title of it is Becoming a New Creature in Christ. Three examples I want to share with you are myself, Paul, and Jesus. Sounds like it's working. Okay, so, can I turn with me into your Bibles? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, according to verse 18. Where I began was a long time ago, it seems, and I'm not talking about ages, I'm just talking about experience. I've done a lot in my life. I've gone to church most of my life. I never really followed God truthfully. The first 20 years were very hard as I moved about from neighborhood to neighborhood to neighborhood. Went to many different schools. I believe sixth grade I went to three different schools. Finally, settling in the ghetto, High Point, West Seattle. Some of y'all have heard of that place. It's not a really bad ghetto compared to some of the ghettos across the nation, but Seattle is a pretty bad area. I was just a young little kid, didn't really know what I was doing there, you know. There was all sorts of people there, non-English speaking folks, blacks, whites, poor, those on welfare, those not, you know. And there were the gangs. Lots and lots of gangs. I tried to get into one. The BGDs, Black Gangster Disciples, otherwise known as the Folks. Yes, a little white guy trying to get into a Black Gangster Disciple gang. I don't know, but there I was. I met this brother who was the leader of the gang. He wouldn't let me enter. For some reason, I have no idea why. He was a great man. I mean, well, maybe he wasn't so great. He was a gangster. But God had a purpose for me, which was revealed later. He spoke to that guy and not let me join the gangs. And I'm thankful for that. So I grew up without a father, and I looked wherever I could to find a father figure. Luckily, I finally found it in Salvation Army. There I met three very strong Christian brothers, Captain Terry Winters, Lieutenant Craig Bowler, and Jim Brash. Jim Brash I still speak to about 4 or 5 times a year. He's like a big brother to me. He was a father figure, but we should reach the same maturity level. Jim Brash, he definitely gave me a lot of examples of how to be a Christian and where to go. And I'm thankful for that. I finally got out of the gangs, got out of the ghetto, moved into a little bit of a nicer neighborhood, hung out with some middle-class friends. One of them happens to be my wife, Karen. Started going to her youth group and realized that there was kids out there my age who could actually love each other, respect each other. They had the Lord, and it was awesome, and I just saw it. I was like, wow, I was dumbfounded that I never saw this before. But growing up in the hood, you don't really have a lot of good examples. And so I was grateful that God led me to the path to over to Beverly Park. Some of you guys know that, totally on First Avenue South. That's where Karen went. I was grateful for that youth group. He took me over to the Army next. That's where I got all my discipline, my respect, my honor, my dignity. my integrity. I learned a lot in the Army. I also learned sometimes you just keep your mouth shut and just do what you're told. So, this is basically been my life. Grew up on welfare, turned gangster, churchgoer, switched to a group of middle class friends, joined the Army. You'd think by about now I'd have about 5 personalities growing up in all those different areas. Having gone to church most of my life and moving the way I did, I've been baptized multiple times, as I thought that every single time you joined a new church, you got baptized into that church. Well, I truly got baptized for the right reasons at about the age of 26. Mr. Don Fleming back there in the glass bowl, he baptized me. I did it once and for all to know that I was baptized into Christ, not into a church. Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist, matter of fact. Matthew 3:13-17 says this: Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love and am well pleased. We see John not wanting to baptize Jesus, but to be baptized by him. When we see Jesus, we see our shining example, a city on a hill. He has been baptized so that we would know what to do. He's our example. He shows us how to become a new creature in him. We should do everything we can that Christ has done, as we are to be Christ-like, the meaning of the word Christian. Now, I've talked a lot about myself, and I don't want to focus on me. I'm not the best example. I'm just someone you can talk to and ask questions of. So let me move on to my second person, Paul. His transformation is pretty awesome. Most of you know the story, but I'm going to sum up some of it here. Saul was also a person who became a new creature in Christ. Saul, known as Paul later in his life, is a shining example of Christ. Like the leaders of the early church, his example still shines through to the present day. In the book of Acts, we first meet Paul as Saul, the man from Tarsus. We meet him in Acts chapter 7, verse 57, if you want to turn there with me. Verses 57 through 60 says this: At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed to him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. This is Stephen they're talking about. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. Saul is there, the stoning of the first martyr for Jesus, Stephen. He's watching the coats and cloaks of those who are stoning Stephen. In the eyes of Saul, it says in the very last part of verse 60, he's there giving approval of the stoning of Stephen. Saul continued to persecute the Christians and murder them in that day. It says in Acts 9:1-2, Saul got letters from the high priest to get permission to take prisoners of any Christians he found in the city of Damascus. After giving the letters permission, Saul was on his way to Damascus. This is where it gets good. God intervenes. He had other plans for Paul, or Saul, who becomes Paul. He got blinded on the road to Damascus. Blinded by a light so powerful that even his companions saw it and were wondering what was going on. Jesus asked him, Why are you persecuting me? And Paul asked him, Who are you? He said, I am the Lord Jesus Christ. Go into Damascus and await my instructions there. I believe Brother Don touched on this a little bit this morning too. blinded by the light, no food or water for 3 days. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't even go 3 hours without food or water. But here Saul does not eat or drink for 3 days, and I'm sure he didn't get much sleep. Can't be a very comfortable situation. Finally, Ananias, a man we never hear from again in the Bible, is called by God to go and show Saul the way of truth, the way to become a new creature in Christ. Small question. If you were called by God to go out and preach to your biggest enemy, would you? While you think about that, let's look at what Ananias did in Acts chapter 9, verses 11 through 19. It says this, "The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on the Escape Street, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man, and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with an authority from the chief priests to us all call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument, to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so you may see him again, be fulfilled, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Got up and was baptized. How many of you would be like Ananias and question God? How many of you would jump at the opportunity to go preach to your enemy? How many would look dumbfounded and say, me? God, you need to go talk to him? I'd be that third one. That's scary. Thankfully, Ananias followed God's commands, and now we have the writings of Paul to focus on. Now we're about to get to the meat of this message. What do you think Saul did after becoming a Christian? He was on fire, ready to preach the word of God and tell that Jesus was the true Lord and Messiah promised in the earlier books. Just as fired as most some of us get after the rallies. We get all on fire, we're just ready to go preach the word, and we're just like, yeah, send us out to the game, coach. Just as on fire as we should get after each Sunday morning, ready to prepare ourselves for the rest of the week. We even get that midweek booster pack, you know, on Wednesday night. But we need to take time out to get to know what our purpose is. As we see in the second part of Acts 9, we can read that later, he preached on the word and grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews. This made them want to kill him. They kept an eye on the city gate day and night looking for Saul. One night, some of Christ's followers lowered him down from the city wall, and at that he went into the desert for 3 years. We find that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 through 24. Should have had all this math, I'm sorry. Verse 11. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something I made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I preached to the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely jealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God had set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were the apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia, and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that I am what I am, that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of the Judea that are in Christ. The other heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith. He was started to destroy, and they praise God because of me. 3 years he went into the desert and was taught by Jesus through revelations. But that's the way to get your word. That's the way to learn it from the man himself. What a way to learn. After 3 years he goes into Jerusalem to seek out the disciples. Now they are very leery of meeting him. I would have been too, as this man was a murderer and persecutor of all the Christians. The movement you were leading was treated, threatened by one main guy, but you had doubts about meeting him too. Even after he claims to have changed his ways, it was not until Barnabas stepped in that he finally gets to meet the disciples. Barnabas spreads the word that Saul had finally changed his life, had become a new creature in Christ. And it's through this that he's allowed to meet Peter and James, and they talk with him. He's now straight on the level with the Lord. Barnabas had spoke of his baptism into the saving grace of Jesus. He was then allowed to move freely about Jerusalem, spreading the word of God, which he did. And once again, Saul's life is in danger. The Jews try to kill him, and again, some of his brothers of the church stepped in to help him escape. They take him down to Caesarea, where they send him off to Tarsus, his back to his hometown. There he will sit and wait until the Lord calls him up again. They speculated that he was in Tarsus about 4 years before he was used in service. After the Jerusalem incident, he learned more from the Lord, more revelations. He even worked in a few churches. All the time, the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit and grew in numbers living in fear of the Lord, says Acts 9:31. We hear not from Saul until the revival of Antioch. Find this in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, carrying the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw the evidence of grace of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught with great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and thought the Spirit predicted that there a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending a gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Now the disciples of Jesus are using Saul as an elder for the church of Antioch. You see, in this passage, that Barnabas doesn't feel he's strong enough to do it on his own. He seeks out Saul, travels all the way to Tarsus to get Saul, takes him back, and for a year they preach to church. He is a man trained by God himself, by Jesus, through revelations, sent into the church of Antioch, which becomes the first church to be called Christians. After waiting years, Saul, who is now Paul, is now in the beginnings of his ministry. For 30 more years, Paul walks the land, preaching the word. He was beaten almost to death, jailed many, many times, survived a couple of shipwrecks, all to do God's ministry. He was beheaded, it is believed, around 62 AD by the Emperor Nero. I encourage you all to read Paul's writings, as well as the book of Acts, which talks about his beginnings. By the time you finish the books of these books that Paul has written in the book of Acts, you will have read half of the New Testament. Paul wrote 13 books, which are Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Only the four Gospels, Revelation, the three Johns, and Hebrews, I believe. Jude. Thank you. So, if you read Paul's writings and how he began, you're halfway through the New Testament. Closing up my little talk here, I don't want to say sermon, I don't feel like a preacher yet. I want to talk about Christ, the man who we need to be, the new creature we want to become like. Son of man who walked the earth and died on the cross for our sins, Jesus was always about his Father's business, even preaching to the elders at the age of 12 in the chapel. His mom and dad were running around looking for him. Didn't miss him for a day or two, I think it says in the Bible. And then they found him at that chapel. Well, I guess they called it the synagogue back then. And he says, "Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? Why would you worry?" Pretty powerful words from a 12-year-old. He did not really truly start his ministry until he was about 30. Pushed in by his mom, by the way, who urged him to turn water into wine at Canaan. He led a perfect life that we can never do, but must strive to try. Throughout the four Gospels and scattered through the rest of the New Testament, Jesus shows us the way. Pick up a Bible, there's a red letter edition. Read it. You see Jesus' words speaking straight to you. Instead of simplifying Jesus' words, he teaches us how to preach, teach, evangel, how to be humble, even how to pray. Some more words from Paul in 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this: "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Right there we see that we can control all things that we speak out of our hearts. If only you believe, faith is the key to the journey of Christ. I pray you seek the journey. The road to heaven is not comfortable, but I guarantee you it's worth it. The retirement plan's out of this world. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, I encourage you to meet him. He's a great man. Become a new creature in Christ. Let his words speak to you. Let Paul's tribulations be an example. If you look at their lives, your tribulations will mean nothing but an inkling to what Paul and Jesus went through. And most of the first Christians, Peter, James, Andrew, Simon, the only one who didn't suffer was John. He had some trials and tribulations, but he didn't have a martyr's death. If you have any questions, I'll be in the back this time I'm through.